Hello again. Welcome. It is SB Pod with Stanford Steve. I have notes.
I see that.
Just going to say in a past pod life, things might be willy-nilly. Just scribble some stuff. This is a new venture.
Yeah.
Right?
Nice studio. Stepping up your game.
Home studio in progress. Just got a little bit of a setback in the most recent sort of.
Okay.
Can we be back in the house? It's been June. Maybe July.
Day.
Here we go. It begins. We got a hard out, fellas. Network hard out. Okay? We need to be in that jank pronto. If for no other reason than we get the home studios.
Yeah.
That'll be way more convenient, although this is a wonderful place. We're awesome. Excited to be here. I have on the card, we have NFL draft, clearly.
Yep.
NBA playoffs, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. Do we get into the NHL? The Caps got swept. There's your hockey. They spent all they had in the tank.
I'm just glad because they were easily the worst team to watch in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Not a lot of firepower.
The tank was on E.
Correct.
They spent what they had to make it. Rock the red. And then we have Italy recap.
Yeah.
Now, this is a collaborative effort. I'm not in charge of where we start. I ask you, as I often do, where should we begin?
Recency bias. Let's go NBA playoffs.
Fine. To me, there's one guy right now who's the early headline in the
Anthony
NBA,
Edwards.
Without question.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
What are we willing to say about this dude right now? What is he?
Awesome.
For sure.
I mean, we do SportsCenter every night.
Yep.
And a lot of times, especially now in the next 2 months, we get caught sitting behind these press conferences, hearing about maybe the stuff we don't want to hear about. We want to talk about the games
mm-hmm.
and what we see on the court.
Right.
And everybody talks about everything else, it feels like. People are more interested in the off-the-court stuff in the league. I love it because he's just flat-out awesome to watch. You knew the sense of urgency was there last night. You saw it. You saw him with the last dunk, give the 4-0 to his own bench. And he talked about it with you on Friday night. He made it a point to be like, don't ask me anymore because remember everybody says I haven't done it yet, so I can't talk about it. It was in his head.
For sure.
He knew what he had at stake, and it was awesome to watch.
He's 22 years old.
Yeah.
That's the part I keep coming back to. He's 22 years old. So face of the league, the next guy to be the guy. That's kind of what we do in this media space now. Like, we want to anoint you. We want to give you a title. We want to talk. One of my least favorite things, legacy talk. Legacy is what you've done after a long period of time when you're done. We could talk about that with Kevin Durant, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got a legacy in the game. 22-year-olds don't have legacies. But what Anthony Edwards is doing, I think, is changing who he is to not just to the sports world, and I mean the whole sports world. We live in our little space.
Yep.
Where we do SportsCenter and Game Day and the pod and Twitter. And it's big, but it's not the whole world. Mm-hmm. And we forget that there's a whole lot of people out there. NBA fans might call them casuals, and that's dismissive, but there's a whole lot of fans that don't, I'm going to say, they don't know who Anthony Edwards is. I don't mean sports interviewers. I don't mean podcast listeners. I mean just if you're just out there and you kind of watch the NBA, do you know who Kevin Durant is? Of course you do. You know who Steph Curry is? Of course you do. You know who LeBron? Of course. KD's done. Steph's done. LeBron, as we talk on Monday, is a game away from being done.
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony Edwards is in the process of showing anybody that might not know. And again, that's not our audience necessarily, but there's a bigger world out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this appetite for it, man. Like, and it was early in this series. Like, he started going at Durant.
Yep.
Wanted every bit of the smoke. Like, hey, come get some of this. You don't want it. And guess what? 4-0. Like, mm-hmm. That's a wrap. And we might as well just get to that sound because we've got it. He mm-hmm. he was on SportsCenter with us after they took a 3-0 lead. And this was the exchange that we had when I asked a question. He answered it succinctly.
And big shout out to you. I mean, stars bring their best when the best is required. You had 18 of your 36 in the fourth. And it's not like you haven't already been a star, but it appears that there's another gear you're finding in terms of confidence, in terms of patience, knowing when it's time to put your foot on the gas. How would you describe your mentality and how it's evolving, Anthony?
I just want to kill everything in front of me, man. That's the main thing. Pretty much. That's all it is to it.
He just wants to kill everything in front of
him. Do you want to end the interview right there? Like,
yes.
How hard was it
to ask come anything up with, else?
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you asked that because I've done this for a long time. When someone says that, I wanted to end the show. What's the point? Good night, everybody. Anthony Edwards, 18 of his 36 in the fourth, and the Timberwolves lead 3-0. Coming up next, SportsCenter from Los Angeles.
With somebody else.
Where's there to go? I think I stammered my way through some. I think that's where I asked about, like, closing it out.
Yeah.
Getting the last one.
That's where you started talking
it's
about
it. It's
like,
hey,
I don't know.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
I haven't done it yet. And here's where we're the worst. Not us necessarily, me and you, because I don't think we traffic in this, but this is media. Do they have to do more than this? Like, you've won the series now, swept out a super team, and Denver's a game away from being in your path, which would be just a hellacious series. Mm-hmm. If you run into them and get sent home, that's okay. That doesn't stop any of what I'm saying both of us are saying it being true about Anthony Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
He's still that guy. But in order to become a true household name, do you have to knock off the champs? Maybe to have it happen right now? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But this just feels inevitable to me. This dude's, whether it's next year, I saw Simmons and Russillo talking about it, like face of the league stuff. Is that in his future? It feels like it absolutely could be.
I think you would agree. We could care less who people anoint as the face of the league, right? Like, we have our own opinions. We watch the games.
Uh-huh.
And I say it every single year when the NBA playoffs come, because it's so long. It is the ultimate marathon. You need breaks. You need luck within the health aspect of things.
Uh-huh.
You need the ball to bounce your way a couple times. But somebody every year always rises to be like, oh, that guy, I watched him in the playoffs last year. He's phenomenal. I think Jimmy Butler is an example of a guy. That team pretty much doesn't care about the regular season, but you make your name as that. You go back to Team USA. They thought, you know, he wasn't going to be one of the guys. That changed with Team USA, and you saw him building to this point. I go back to the T-Wolves just getting murdered for the Gobert trade.
Yeah.
They're the Jazz, we haven't even heard from them since they traded him. And now you got, you know, Gobert advancing to the conference semifinals. So in its totality, it's awesome to watch because that story and the ups and downs, you know, you got the ownership thing going on off the court. But that fan base, man, is starving.
And it's been 20 years, man.
To finally hit on a number one. You know, it felt like, you know, the Timberwolves were in that. We have the old drafts when they took 3-point guards. The whole thing, all the jokes have been made, but it ain't happening. And you say, if he, you know, can you beat the Nuggets, this and that? I just look at the opportunity, and we see years go by and go by where guy, and then you look back, you're like, remember when they had that chance with the Nuggets? We don't know what's going to happen. The Nuggets still have to close out the Lakers, whatever. But this is as good of an opportunity as they can to get to the NBA Finals. And the West is loaded.
Loaded.
But they are as dangerous as anybody because of him.
Yeah, and I think they're well constructed in terms of what everybody does. A guy like Conley, his presence is, how do you even measure it? I don't know. I just know he matters.
Every team he goes to is in the playoffs.
He just matters.
It's awesome.
He's got the stuff, the good stuff that makes every ingredient better. But man, Edwards is just irresistible. And he plays a game that it's fun to watch. I love the first he was shouting out his teammates.
Does it all the time. I love it.
As soon as the interview started, he's 22 and he feels like a leader. You know, he's telling Kat, stop effing fouling.
Yeah.
You know, and Kat's much older, and he could, if you got to have the room to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And do it with a smile on your face.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's right.
Yep.
But I just go back to Edwards. I mean, this is going to be me saying I'm wrong a lot. Like, he's at Georgia, and I knew he was supposed to be a guy, but
didn't go to the tournament.
We love Cream, but man, they stunk.
Yeah.
And I thought he just was a heist. I thought, like, this, I felt like, go look at some box scores. You can find plenty of nights where it'd be like 7 for 20-something, mm-hmm. and you go, I don't know, dude. And then he was like, I kind of like football better, and I'm like, okay. Well, He's 22 and can't wait to see what's next. Presume it's Denver.
Yep.
And that would be a tremendous opportunity, mm-hmm. as you say. And it would be a hell of an obstacle to put in front of Denver.
No doubt.
Because dude's real, man. I do want to talk about Durant because I found this interesting. Mm-hmm. From the jump, Edwards was looking for him to woof at him.
Mm-hmm.
And if Edwards didn't have the respect of the other guys as well, then that would rub a vet like KD the wrong way. Instead, when his season was done, here's what he had to say about Edwards.
So impressed with Ant. So impressed with Ant. My favorite player to watch. Just grown so much since he came into the league at 22. Just his love for the game just shines bright. And that's something that's probably, that's one of the reasons why I like him the most, because he just loves basketball. He's grateful to be in this position. He's taking advantage of every opportunity he's gotten. Love everything about Ant, everything. And be watching him going forward. And, you know he's going to go out there and play extremely hard every single night. But was really impressed with him. And it's going to be somebody I'm following for the rest of his career.
Durant's the ultimate hoop head. Mm-hmm. It's what he loves, just loves to play the game, loves to consume the game. To me, that's as high a praise as you can get for Edwards. I mean, it just takes what we're saying and just adds more to it. I think Durant is in a really interesting place. For years, I would tell you he's my favorite player to watch play the game. Mm-hmm. His offensive game is still, like, because of his height, because of his handle, because of his release point, he's still a bucket and is going to be a really hard dude to stop. But he's in the wanderer phase of his career. He's 35 years old. Bald spot's getting more pronounced. The days of being a kid with Seattle and then a young man in the NBA Finals with OKC, long gone. He became something altogether different with the Warriors. Then you go to Brooklyn. Not one good thing came out of that. Mm-hmm. Then you get traded to Phoenix, part of a super team. You don't win a game in the playoffs. I don't know what I'm saying here other than that he just feels like I said, he just feels adrift. I don't know what, and I've always wondered this about him. Like, what is it that's going to make him content? And I don't know that that's something that's findable at this point, because it just seemed like there's so many obstacles, and you got a dude who's 13 years younger than you who's just heckling you the whole series, and then it's like, take your ass on home.
Yeah, no, it's humbling. It's been 5 years since Kevin Durant has felt really relevant in the playoffs. You know, you go back in the Raptors thing, he probably shouldn't have been playing, knowing that the calf was a problem, and then goes the Achilles.
And that'll suck forever, because it's the ultimate what if.
Yeah.
Because in that one game when he's playing, it's like, holy shit, look at what this guy.
Yeah.
Because he's still got that gear, but like, is it a gear lower? Because this is just human nature. This is every sport forever. The next wave's coming. Mm-hmm. How long can you keep him at bay?
I don't know. I don't know, because I go back, like, I want a book on the Brooklyn Nets when everything happened. Because you think about, like, what's Durant doing watching that game yesterday where it's Harden and Kyrie going at each other.
I was talking Knicks.
Not that.
Not yet.
Not talking about that invasion yet.
We're going to get to it.
But, no, like, go back and, you know, they bring Harden in, but then Harden's mad because Kyrie doesn't want to do anything. And Durant's sitting there like, hey, man, I thought we had a deal here. You know, they're both out of it. He's got foot on the line against the Bucks. Bucks go on. And, like, that feels like the last time he's been relevant. And it's crazy to say it, how good and how, you know, talk about faces of the league. He was the guy, Team USA, the whole thing.
Love him.
And now it's
still
five,
do.
5 years.
Yeah.
5 years where I say being relevant. And it's tough to watch, but, you know, Father Time's not going to, you know, as undefeated as people say. But what's the – that team – they don't have draft picks. They got three guys getting $50 million. They don't have a point guard. It's his Florida roster, new ownership. I don't know what is going to go on there. But you know there's a lot of egos involved with that group. And that's a fascinating thing to keep your eye on this summer.
I agree. Because what do they do? And they – I don't know. I saw Windhorst talking today just about – I think with McAfee about, like, you know, the extension which is out there. But then, I mean, you know – nothing means anything.
No,
it doesn't mean anything. You can sign it and just be like, yeah, I don't really want to do this anymore. Let's get to the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Action Reports, Bronsolino in the building. I'm sure he's excited. I heckled him and New Yorkers unmerciful years ago when you beat Boston game one and you all reacted like you had won the Powerball. It's like, you're New York City. What are you doing? Mm. It was funny. The guy, do you want to play for the – what was it the guy said? You regret playing, not playing for the Knicks? Like that guy? What's he doing right now? He's definitely hungover still from Sunday. But let me tell you, the Sunday takeover – and Brunson, I don't want to miss what Brunson's doing. Speaking of wrong, when he got 4 and 105 or whatever from New York, I was just like, this is that thing the Knicks do when they just have money and they want to spend it. Mm. People are invoking the name Bernard King.
He passed them.
Correctly.
Yeah.
You're hanging numbers, man. He's this big. Hold on, I'm gonna get the quote, the correct quote from our guy, Action Bronson. This is not the Twitter feed about the Brunson. I got to look that up, too.
This is not the edited version either.
No, we're just
right from the source.
Is he correct? I asked him what did he have to say about Brunson earlier this year, and what did he say? Consistently the best player on the court, does as he pleases in a sea of bigger men. Shout out Action Bronson. That is accurate. That's what he does. And they're on the cusp of a series win.
Mm-hmm.
Social media is the amplifier now. One series is like you won a title.
Correct.
It's four. Yeah. It's one quarter of the way there.
Correct.
Relax. But I don't want Knicks fans to relax. I want Knicks fans to do what they did yesterday. You go into Atlanta, Charlotte, mm-hmm. Washington even.
Yeah.
Places where there's fan bases, where people care, but you're not going to go take over their building mm-hmm. or their streets.
Mm-hmm.
They went into Philadelphia.
Yeah.
A city that's ready to fight.
Took that train right down there. A bunch of them.
A whole bunch of them. And then they had a party in their building.
And outside.
And outside. And just seeing it, like, I can't get over. You know Philly people today have got to be sitting around trying to figure out. And I'm not even talking about winning the series. I'm talking about going up to fight New York City.
Correct. Yeah, because, I mean, they just came out and – go back to Brunson, though.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't stand what I saw from him in the first three games of the series, but that was because of Nick Nurse and the defensive stuff that they had, because Philly has guys that they could switch off on them. They could say, hey, you
bigger
take
guys.
Him, Discoverson.
Correct.
You
and know, a bunch of
Maxie's
them.
Been phenomenal. Even Oubre was great.
Love him.
And Brunson just said, no, not today. We're going to do this. They got nothing from anybody else.
Didn't need it.
Not, you know? And when you go back and look at the I don't even know. It wasn't a step back. It wasn't a fadeaway. He went to the side at the end of the shot clock from, like, foul line extended, and he hits it, and it's just like he's just got a serious bulldog in him where Action points out in a sea amongst bigger men because he is the smallest guy out there. But, man, it's just phenomenal to watch. He's so creative and patient. And he never gets too worked up or out of his sorts. And credit to him for sticking to his guns and being that guy that he's been all year after a tough first three games.
Philly also was cataclysmically horrible in the last 5 minutes of the game offensively.
You could say the whole series, you know.
The ability to execute and get buckets. I mean, it's been a bloodbath also on the mm-hmm. court. Like, and that's an interesting thing. Like, we allow lots of stuff to go, and then other things, it's a touch and it's whatever. That's the definition of mm-hmm. Marginal contact or whatever. That's,
yep.
In Philly, New York, it's been marginal is not cutting it. It's mm-hmm. it's been a war, as you'd guess. But they and Indiana are a win away from what would be, I think, an incredibly entertaining series. And we'd get the spike in Reggie just because it's mandated. But with respect to both those legends, I'm just interested in what both of these teams are at the moment. I want to know, Indiana, it's so hard to measure because no Giannis, no Dame. I don't even know what to say.
They didn't miss yesterday.
Pardon?
Indiana didn't miss either. Well, I mean, Milwaukee's in that game.
You're right. Middleton's been great.
And he goes down for you're like...
So Indi-
fire up Jack Sigma.
Here's what I have written down for Indiana. I have fun / threat question mark. Are they fun or are they a threat?
They're a threat because of how lethal they can be.
Because they can make shots and score.
Yep. I was talking about with Legler the other night, like Miles Turner. He always feels like he's always on the trade block. I love that guy.
I agree. For them, shots. Especially for them. What else do you want? Who are you getting that's better for your team than that guy?
Yeah, I don't understand it. But it's about the matchups. We knew going in that Indiana, it happened so earlier in the year, but Indiana was not afraid because they had success against Giannis and Dame and the Bucks. Now you bring in a totally different team where it's that bulldog mentality with the Knicks. And it's fascinating. That building in Indiana.
Tremendous.
Good Lord. Have they brought it? I mean, that's a 5:30 game they play on Friday.
They don't care.
And it is juiced up, ready to go, which is awesome. So I don't want to spend too much time on a series that we're not sure. I know they're both up 3-1. I had something else on Philly.
Please, I didn't mean to jump the gun, but I'm looking down the road at what could be next. Go ahead.
Embiid.
Is that a question, a statement? What is it?
Go.
He's injured.
He scored 50.
Correct.
Like, assessing it feels like it's tricky every year with him.
It is because you think he's heavy.
No. No, the conditioning, he couldn't condition it while he was getting back. I'm saying looking forward.
You just mean in general, you think that him being lighter would help him injury-wise.
No doubt.
I tend to agree, but I just think that it also adds to what makes him so unstoppable a force is that he's an absolute bull,
mm-hmm.
and there's really no keeping him from whatever spot he wants to get to. Look, Philly's tricky, okay? They spent years committed to sucking in the hopes that the process is a played-out even joke, but everyone knows what it was, and what did it yield? Ultimately, you've got one asset out of it, and it's him. And he's compromised from a health standpoint, and he's compromised now from just a fitness standpoint, which you knew he would be, and yet he still gives you that. I can love the guy and hate what he did in that game. He should have been ejected.
Yeah.
That's just, I don't even know what that was. Maybe it's frustration.
A lot of those, too.
What is that?
That he's done.
I agree.
You know?
I agree, and that's where liking the guy, you can have a blind spot and just be like, if that was someone correct. We disliked, how much louder would the chorus be? Like that's just that's egregious, man.
Yeah,
because it was.
Yeah, I just we don't like talking about legacy, but I'm just saying if this ends, and we got all this time, and he's not involved in the playoffs, it's not going to be good, and. It's really tough to judge. I mean, the MVP last year, but it feels like every single year we get to this point and he can't do it physically, but then he scores 50 in game 3 in a must win. It's like, wait, he could score 50 and he's not healthy? Like, it's just there's no one like him.
I remember it was a Monday Night Countdown where we were in Los Angeles and Stephen A. was on with us and I was talking about Dak, and at some point I think I got to the end and I said, it's hard to win. And Stephen A. is like, you're too nice a guy. And I'm like, maybe, but I would apply that to Embiid. Like, it's hard to win.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard to win. And in Philly, I mean, they've got the Tobias Harris contract and not getting a ton out of him. I mean, look, you go all in and you still have to thread the needle to have it work. And then you still need the health that you talk about. And we're talking about all these teams.
It's also been a decade.
Understood.
That's crazy.
Well, and then you get to the end of your process and go, what'd we get for it?
Yeah.
And that's when you have to put a harsh closing time spotlight on it and go, whoa, not a lot. And I'm not trying to be an asshole, Philadelphia, okay? But what have you
got? Bars closed, no more. Last call.
Closing time, what are we looking at here? and it appears before we can go full bing bong, you got to get another one. And that's typically the hardest one. I have here Boston. Does any of this matter?
I have an analogy I came up with on my own.
On the Celtics?
Yes.
All right. Stanford. Now we present Stanford Steve has an analogy.
They so remind me of the 90s Knicks.
In what way?
It should be easier. And they just find ways to – and I get it. They'll win this series. But, like, Miami comes out and makes a record. Like, what is it? Three teams in the history of the league have made more threes in a game than the Heat did made. And then, like, you had your run against the Warriors. You couldn't get it done there. You know, when you got to the finals with this group, it just feels like there's always this, you know, Miami's been like their Indiana where Reggie, you know, gave it to the Knicks. You make a run without Ewing, and then you can't beat Tim Duncan in the spurt. Like, it just feels like something is going to be in their way where they're a great team. And what they've done in tweaking things, the Marcus Smart thing, Porzingis has been awesome. But I just wonder, can they actually do it? And just thinking about all the tough times that the Knicks had going through, whether it was Jordan, then Jordan's gone, and you make it to the finals, and there's Hakeem. Like, all this stuff, it just lines up to me that it's like, man, are they going to be able to win a championship?
Well, this year, the Bucks would have been your perceived biggest obstacle because of Giannis, and unless they're able to get healthy in a hurry, then they won't have to deal with that.
Nope.
Right? And the Warriors were a pebble in everybody's shoe there for a while. They obviously don't exist. The Lakers appear to be done. So now what the obstacle on the other side could be a young, hungry squad, or it could be Jokic.
And the champs, yeah.
Sublime.
And he's given it to them the two times they played him this year. Like, it's just in the back of my mind. And again, like, them losing to the Heat, where it was just like, all right, get no Jimmy Butler. Like, you've had your problems with the Heat. Just get rid of them. And Miami pulls one of those.
But the thing about all – and it's, look, it's fun, admittedly, to talk about the early round series. But then, like with the NCAA tournament, in the end, it was UConn, and it was always UConn, and it was easy UConn. Mm-hmm. And when it was done, you're like, why did we try to talk ourselves into anything else?
Because we just want to try and find another option. You're so right.
It's just – if in the end – and this is – I mean, with Minnesota's already, they're the one team, as we talk on a Monday evening, who's we know is there. They're through to the next. It's fun to talk about what's the early stuff. Mm-hmm. OKC's been impressive. This young team, they love each other. We talk about being connected. Talk about that on SportsCenter a lot. They left Allie LaForce to go do the local interview because that's what those dudes do, because they genuinely dig each other. That's rare, man. That's hard to maintain, I think.
No doubt.
But
no doubt.
But it feels real.
I
remember Chet Holmgren at some point this last winter, like, get his uniform retired in Minnesota in a high school, and the whole squad shows up. Imagine you're in some high school in Minnesota, and here comes the whole squad on some January night. Awesome. I mean, and that's because that's what they're about. And shout out to Chuck and Galveston. I swear I laughed harder every time. Shaq laughing is the most. You have an infectious laugh. I think Shaq may top you when he gets sideways.
Well, it's way harder to make Shaq laugh.
Yeah, but when he does, you know he means that shit.
No doubt.
And God, that was funny. But okay, OKC is, they haven't been tested. No Zion is a bummer again. Injury luck.
Yeah, but with that, New Orleans has plenty of capable players. Minnesota, obviously, I still think the Suns are flawed. What Oklahoma City has done, getting the one seed and then using it as like, oh, everybody still thinks we're not good. Like, they've been impressive through the first three games of the series as anybody.
I agree with that. I still don't think they can prove anything because it's a New Orleans team without Zion.
No doubt. I got you there.
You're gonna have, like, what Minnesota did. They did to a team that has Durant, who we've seen do it.
Yeah.
And Booker, who we've seen hang monster numbers in the playoffs, and Beal, who didn't get a chance to because he was in Washington playing on a Wizards team. But the one series we haven't even touched on yet, to me, is the most interesting, and that's Dallas and the Clippers. And it's wild. Like, as soon as Kawhi's out, I'm like, Clippers are going to watch. I bet you the Clippers have a gear that you just don't anticipate, because maybe it's human nature. Luka didn't feel great to begin with, but maybe you see no Kawhi, and you're like, all right, we got this. We're good. And then
you're down 30.
But then they led.
Yeah.
So the Clippers had to kind of win twice. Because you let that lead get away. Dallas is building. That's a sneaky great building, too.
Absolutely.
They're going bananas. And then, the shot George hit from the corner.
So I said, do they win if he makes that?
Does Dallas?
If he doesn't make that.
No.
Right?
No.
That's how much momentum was.
I thought so.
Great. I'm with you.
And there was some great sort of crowd shots where he makes that, and you just see people's reaction, like shoulders slump, because you spend so much energy to get back, and then a shot like that's made, and you're like, for real?
Yeah. And
but I have zero feel for who wins that series. None.
Yeah, I still think Dallas.
Do you?
Does it? Yeah, I do, because Luka didn't really. I mean, he had a triple double, but it was the Kyrie show yesterday. I don't know if the Clippers could do that two more times. That was some crazy stuff to withstand that. And I've been as hard on as anybody for James Harden. It's hard critically. absolutely fantastic. Couldn't agree that's more. What we've always wanted for him to do in the playoffs, and it's just he's phased out. He, you know, has missed shots.
Or he's like a conscientious objector. He doesn't shoot. Yeah. He doesn't put his imprint on the game. And the fourth quarter of that game, when I mean, we'll give George the credit, and we should.
Yeah.
But how many the
still and, needed to make a bunch.
Well, and the and one that Harden made at the end is the one that largely gave him enough to just, all right, we got this. Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
He was awesome.
I don't know anybody out there. Well, I mean, there's some Harden stands, I guess, still that are like, think it's awesome that he could just decide he doesn't want to play somewhere and go to a new place. I happen to not think that's great. And you're pro management? No, I'm just pro, if you get the contract extension, do what you say you're going to do. I could say that and in the same breath say, and that was a spectacular fourth quarter. Out of Harden, and a great game, just a patient game, a mature, seasoned, great player game, which is what this time of year requires. I have some draft stuff.
Roll.
There were six quarterbacks, Stanford Steve, drafted in the first 12 picks of this draft.
Yep.
I'm asking you to tell me one, not two, not three, not four, not five, one that you believe 3 years from now, not five, not 10, not 20, 3 years from now, you believe is a QB1, a guy in the NFL.
Caleb Williams.
You believe it.
Yes.
How much of that is having pieces around like DJ Moore, drafting Adunze, having Allen, getting Swift behind you, an O-line that was actually pass win rate. I'm just making shit up, but I think, I don't know. Is that true? If it's true, someone tell me it's true. Yeah. How much of it is the pieces that are around him, and how much of it's him?
It's a combination.
Okay. Combination.
Obviously, a lot is made up of, let's go back to last year, Bryce Young. Had no chance.
No, zero.
The situation that he's going into as the number one pick in the draft is as good a situation as any number one pick in a while.
Okay.
When you think about, and you talked about the surroundings that they gave him. They don't draft a tackle because they say they don't need one. They like their tackles. They go out and get some more weapons. The defense is going to be the defense. You got to think the Fluce will have them ready to roll in there.
Fluce. That's Eberflus. We call him the Fluce.
And outside of it, you look at the division.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The Lions, everybody's favorite story. I get it. They're not the Chiefs. Okay. Green Bay hits success late in the year with Jordan Love. Okay. Well, now we got our Jordan Love. Minnesota, same deal. We're kind of in the same deal here.
Okay.
But when you talk about the situation and what he's going into and what the Bears have around him and outside of him and who they're competing against, I believe in Caleb Williams.
I don't have confidence that anyone will be, and it's admittedly, this is just PTSD for me. This is just me looking at the draft 3 years ago at Lawrence, Wilson, Lance, Fields, and Jones, and looking at guys that played at Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, played in playoff games, played in big-time games from the jump. And only one of them, and Lawrence just had his option picked up, as did ETN in Jacksonville. Everybody else has been traded. Wilson can't do it. Lance, I don't know if we'll ever see if he can or not. Fields gets a chance to be a backup in Pittsburgh, and Jones goes to Jacksonville to back up Lawrence. These guys that came out this year, all right, McCarthy did it. Caleb was supposed to do it. They didn't make a playoff. They lost a bunch of games this year. His talent is outrageous. You can't do all that freelance stuff in this league, I don't think, and expect it to work. I mean, it's got to be more on-schedule stuff. I don't know on Daniels. I want it to work because I'm a Washington fan. I just don't know. May is – Belichick's got me spooked because his footwork's all over the place, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just – I can't tell you right now, and I thought about this all day because I knew – I figured you'd say Williams, and he's the one I would say I'd push my chips in the middle on him, but it would be with a shrug. It's not confident. The league's so bad at giving guys the framework for it to work, which is what makes Stroud last year such an amazing thing in retrospect. Like what he did in Houston, they didn't have like Nico Collins, he's a good receiver. Tank's a nice receiver. But like they don't have Caleb's got better wide receiver weapons by far in Chicago, a better O-line setup, I believe on paper, pass win rate. I think you're right that he's set up as well as you could be in ways that, like, Bryce Young was had no chance. So I'm with you that the odds of it working in Chicago a hell of a lot better than they were for last year's number one pick. It's just incredible to me how rarely this works and how overdrafted this position is, because teams squint so hard to say, oh, yeah, I can see it. I see it with this guy.
Well, a couple things here. I think Houston's roster was a lot better than people gave it credit for. And you say they don't have the stars, but they have some damn good players.
They're in a
– if the Colts don't fumble or get stopped on fourth down, they don't even go to the playoffs, right? That minimizes
true story.
A little bit. Okay. But when you think like this position, this like you totally have history on your side, because we've seen it. To go through the drafts, all we talk about is the bus, right? And then let's go back to last year's NFL season. Okay. Aaron Rodgers doesn't even make a series. Daniel Jones gets hurt. They go in and go Joey, what's his name?
But if you go
the time we spent on these two teams.
Tommy DeVito, by the way.
Yeah. They don't have a quarterback.
Right.
So these teams, like, do you not want them to take a quarterback?
Of course not. You have to.
Right? You have to take one.
Well, do you? I mean, there's no argument that the position's overdrafted because you're doing this hoping you're going to be right. Like Minnesota. And we had McCarthy on SportsCenter. Couldn't be a more impressive young man. And you go, well, shit, I see. I mean, all right. I see it. But I just think. It's the hardest position in sports to do.
Yeah.
The hardest one. And it requires a million things. There's some intangible that I don't know how you quantify it or measure it. And guys you think have it, it turns out do not.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find out in this league in a hurry. I'm just telling you, I'm definitely using... It's like if you're in a relationship and a bunch of people have you've cheated on you, you're just going to be afraid they're going to cheat on you again. Right? Do you have takeaways from this draft? Things you'd like to say out there on game day, seeing people, a guy you loved, a spot you thought.
I love what a lot of teams did. A
lot of people seem to.
I really.
You know how we feel about draft grades.
Yeah.
Dumbest thing anyone in media does.
No doubt. But, like, we're going to do a thing tonight for the show, and my biggest head scratcher is Brock Bowers going to the Raiders. But it's a head scratcher for a good reason, because. So many times we talked about the quarterbacks where if that's a need, you got to go take one. They must have had Brock Bowers as a top three player in the whole draft, because they just draft. We know how I feel about Michael Mayer. I love that dude. Started to show progress at the end of the season last year.
He did.
Things started clicking, and to take Brock Bowers on top of already having Michael Mayer. That you don't see that a lot, and I give that staff and that organization credit, because if it is the ultimate. We're taking the best player right now. We don't care about. We're gonna figure it out, but we're taking the best player because this guy is being it was great to see, because it's conviction. And we heard Raheem Morris say they had so much conviction to take Michael Penix Jr. I can't argue with that. And then I think about what Raheem Morris had with the Buccaneers. Like, that's his first head coaching job. It was a disaster at the quarterback position. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to deal with that. If my quarterback goes down, I'm gonna have a backup plan.
Just spent $400 and $100 and whatever on
it. It's money. It'll make more tomorrow.
Hey, I get it. It's not yours. It's Arthur Blank's.
I was gonna say, he's
fine.
He's got plenty.
He's good.
Right? And you're getting him at a rookie rate. So,
all right.
Going back to the team, I love what the Texans did. I thought they got some great pieces. The Chargers and the Rams, I thought, got the most plug-in and play guys. I thought the Packers did a great job. And the Commanders, I know everybody wanted an offensive lineman.
Left hand up.
But they got a lot of plug-in play guys. Tight end they got that's going to plug in and play. Saner still is a guy I think that will play a long time in this league, because he's the ultimate quarterback in the back end. Like, you watch Michigan being in person, seeing how – those guys are on the same page. They got a young corner, and then they got all these pieces around. That guy was the quarterback of that defense. And you talk to anybody in that locker room, and Blake Corum and J.J. McCarthy get a ton of the praise. Samer still was the guy. So when you look at getting needs, I mean, the Commanders need players.
A lot of players.
Yep. The Daniels thing is fascinating. And like I said, they had plenty of conviction. If you go with your beliefs, and they've had successful guys that have been on other places, and now they're coming to run this. So yeah, there was a lot to like. And also shout out to our crew on Saturday: Reese, Mel, Lewis, Field Yates, Matt. Those guys went from noon to 7 at night talking 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th rounders.
Love like the game.
That, oh, my
and,
God.
And there was a cool thing that made its way around social media where everybody was giving hat tips to the people behind the scenes, man. It is a monster undertaking to put that thing together. And, I mean, you could say the same of the folks at the NFL Network as well. I mean, the folks behind the scenes are the ones that whose work shines on draft coverage, and shout out to all those folks.
495 cut up tapes, I think Lewis said.
And they, yeah, I think.
And Detroit, great job.
A lot of folks. I just want to say, just we've had this conversation. We could have it on air. I don't know that there's a number you could pay me to just stand, and I just don't understand it. We love the passion. And
Scott is debating what next year, what he wants to do. Would he rather go to the NFL draft and stand there for 3 days or go to WrestleMania?
I feel like either one would be, you'd meet wonderful people. I don't, WrestleMania seems to go on for a long time.
It's 2 days this year.
Is it?
That's what they tell me.
I don't know, man. I was a lot of folks that were in Detroit. Huh. And you're standing there for a long time. Like, where do you go to the bathroom? Where do you get a drink?
That's bad.
What if you want some chicken tenders or something? Where are those? I have a hot take. Are you ready for a hot take?
Yes.
All the wide receivers, all the pass catchers that are coming out, I got this year's Puka Nacua. This year's, well, it's not a fifth rounder, and this is he was drafted early.
I'm saying the most catches.
The rookie that
Gobbler.
That's
major
correct.
Gobbler.
Hashtag Gobbler. We're in a PPR league. You guys know what that is? Is this a PPR league?
Thank you.
I think you're going to want to get your hands on Ladd McConkey. They're going to move that dude around, and they're going to have to replace 168 catches that they got last year from Allen Williams, who got hurt, and Eckler. And I just think they're going to throw the ball to that guy. Now, he's been dinged up a bit. He needs to stay on the field. But he's fast, polished route runner.
Great route runner.
And I think that guy's going to have a shit ton of catches.
Okay.
That's my rookie leader in receptions.
Okay.
Next year. Mark it down. We do a thing on our show. We do the predict. I'll write that. I'll forget. Remind me to write that down.
Got it. Predictions.
Anything else in the draft?
No. No, I think it's all been said.
Would you like to hear about Italy?
Please. I got questions on Italy.
All right. Quick itinerary. Your boy, it's been an aggressive spring for travel. A lot of travel. We were lucky. We carved it out. We had a plan. Went skiing in Breckenridge. That was great. Went down to the Keys. A little sun. That was great. Italy, trip of a lifetime. But now the bill is due. And it is. I think we have 4 days off in May total. That's okay. No days off. Shout out to Coach Belichick.
Yep.
But Italy... just incredible. I've traveled a lot. It's been quite a blessing. I had never been to Italy, which is a complete failure, given that my grandpa was from families from Italy.
Yeah.
Rome, Florence, Venice. What was the best? Heart, impossible to choose. All right, well.
Rank them.
I loved Florence. We stayed in. It was billed as a castle. It was more farmhouse than castle, but that's okay, because it was like this very sort of rustic Tuscan villa, if you will. We made pasta as a family. Delicious.
Yeah?
I don't know how to say grandma in Italian. I know in Spanish it's abuela. So let's pretend like abuela is grandma in Italian.
Spanish-Italian.
Yeah.
See him every day.
She was in the kitchen, and she took the pasta we made and made this like... It was kind of like a cacio e pepe, which I think I had about 40 of those. Oh, my God.
What is that?
That's just pasta, cheese, a lot of cheese and pepper.
Like Parmesan cheese?
Correct.
Oh, that's disgusting. No red sauce?
There was plenty of other time for red sauce. Who doesn't like Parmesan cheese? This guy.
It's disgusting.
We're going to move past this because Cacio e Pepe is a gift from the gods. And I had a, I think I set a record for a week.
In, you had it 10 times.
Easy. God,
eight
it
days,
was good.
10 times.
And you know what's insane? You lose weight because the pasta over there is all fresh. Also, you walk everywhere like a meat, like a, you walk everywhere like
no
a.
No moped?
Let me, I'll get to that. What are we doing, Italy, with the mopeds? My God. We stayed in the farmhouse in Florence. Didn't really see. Downtown Florence was awesome. It featured the one horrible thing that happened. There was this thing called the Duomo. It's this massive church with this big, huge dome. And we're like, oh, we can go up to the top. Like, okay. And then you get to the thing. It says there's 432 steps straight up in this incredibly claustrophobic stairwell where you have no headroom or any room to breathe. Let me tell you, I don't like heights, and I don't like claustrophobic spaces. Had there been a snake on the steps, I would have died, and it would have been fine. I'd have rather died than continued. Somehow I got to the top.
Yeah.
And now there's like, you go up on top of this thing, and it's like God knows how many feet off the thing, and I take one peek up, and I go, not me. And now I'm like leaning up against this wall.
Bro, it's bad.
Ready to, I'm hyperventilating. Some guy comes up, looks at me, he's like, SVP, you okay? And I'm like, I'm in Florence, ready to die in a church tower. And so, yeah, I'm good, buddy. Have a ball up there. Holy smokes. Florence.
Did you run down the stairs?
As fast as I could, but it was really steep, and I was afraid one foot. Like, I'm at an age where I could break a hip, okay? So I just didn't want to tumble. So I was getting out of there as quick as I could. That was not the high point of the thing. Florence, though, really, really good. A lot of plazas, lots of things I can't remember the names, how to put them, bridges and such. Spectacular. Venice, to me, Venice is one-on-one because it's like a fake place.
Hey. Yeah.
Venice
is the water.
That it's a city on water,
there
Steve.
You go.
Very good. That was a class he had at Stanford. Venice, the water city. You got to take gondolas because you can't really, or you walk.
All I see is people on boats.
But then there's little pathways, but they're really narrow, and there are, it's every store is either a trattoria where you can get some pasta, a trinket house of trinkets,
trinket shop,
or gelato. I'm gonna, when I retire, I'm gonna go to Venice and open up my new place called Lotta Gelato, because you want to eat a lot of gelato, and it'll be me, and I'll get big and fat. It'll be SVP's Lotta Gelato in Venice. Ready? You in on that?
With a boat, pipe?
Yeah. No. I'll get some kind of fancy hat.
I don't think I've ever had gelato.
It's just ice cream, only better somehow.
But they say something. Okay.
I don't know. We ate it.
I was going to say, your kids must have dominated it.
Double digits every day. The day we were in Venice, it was like 45 and raining sideways.
Didn't matter.
No, double gelato. The guy said, you're the only people that have been here all day. I said, guess what, buddy? We'll be back. And we were. We double dipped in the gelato, hence Lotta Gelato. Venice, spectacular. Spectacular. We went to this, you take a boat, because obviously boat, there's this place called Murano. It's this adjacent island where they do glass blowing. Incredible. This guy made a horse. My daughter likes horses. I'm like, we're going to need that horse, buddy.
Oh.
So.
You got the horse.
We got some glass. It was a big number.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't, where's it going to go? Who knows?
Rome,
great. All the stuff. I mean, you hit every tourist spot, but whatever. I mean, Spanish Steps, beautiful. Sistine Chapel, incredible. The Basilica, incredible. And I got to give, my kids don't listen to the podcast, but I just want to give them a massive hat tip because they're little. And at some point, I got to tell you, my little guy, I figured at some point he'd be like, enough with the churches, right? Enough with the art. Like, if I see another painting of some marginally overweight woman or guy.
Good. I see the cross.
Looking sideways in a maroon hat. I'm just saying, the Renaissance, cardio was not part of the plan. Everyone's just a little squishy. It's fine. I was going to say they look happy, only they don't. Everyone looks forlorn. So if Charlie at some point would have said to me, we're good on the artwork and I'm good on the churches. Shout out.
But he didn't.
Incredible.
You wanted more.
They kept up. They were pace setters. Great attitudes. We didn't lose anything. We didn't lose anybody. Nobody fell down. Nobody cried.
No injuries.
Unbelievable. The train stations, If the train leaves at 11:15, be on it because it's leaving.
Yeah.
It'll be there early.
It should be.
Yes.
Right?
Incredibly efficient. A whole deal. So we did trains in between the cities. It was three generations. My mom went to Italy when she was a student at Syracuse back in the day. That's kind of planted the seed for her to become like this world traveler. It's her favorite place. She's probably not going to do another big one. And so to take her on a last one and my kids on their first one and go as a group, it was really, really a sincere, like, as cool a thing as you could do. And what a blessing to be able to do it as a group. Charlie, Chucky Red Sauce, his official order was, "May I please have penne with pomodoro grazie?" He said it 12 times. Every meal, and let me tell you, clean plate club every time.
Oh.
Side of cheese, smashing it. Follow it up with some gelato.
Mm.
I have some other observations, and then I'll happy yes. to answer your questions.
Good.
I started smoking. Just felt like the thing to do. Just vape, a lot of vaping, just dudes and gals smoking everywhere. Morning, breakfast. Hey, how about a breakfast butt? Why wouldn't you? Everywhere you look. More smoking or more mopeds? By far more mopeds.
Wow.
It is lawlessness. It is Mad Max Fury
All
Road.
Together?
Together. One of the guys in the car, he's like, "You don't have this in the States?" I'm like, "In New York City, if there was like a bunch of mopeds driving around? Cabbies, it'd be like Frogger. They just take them out. What are you talking about? What are you doing? Any paved part of the road, mopeds. On the left of the car, on the right of the car, on the wrong side of the road, no one gives a shit. Mopeds everywhere. And it's like school of fish. Somehow everyone understands where the other people are going. I kept thinking, there is no way we're not going to see a moped get absolutely trucked in front of us. Incredibly, it never happened. I don't know how. What else do I have for you? The cars, Steve. A lot of talk about could Mr. Steve fit in that car? You're familiar with the smart car?
Guessing
they look like a can that got squished. It's like there's a game in Italy to see who can make the smallest vehicle that they somehow deem roadworthy. It's like little dune buggies, like matchbox cars. I saw one. I don't even know what it was. I think a guy made it in his house. Mm-hmm. But they're just out there on the road, just zipping around. It's fine.
Okay.
Gas costs like $12 a gallon.
Oh.
So you want cars that just take small sips. I get it. There's nowhere to park either. So I was fascinated by the cars situation.
Do they have lines in their streets?
There's no point in it. They have them, but it's why? What for what reason? No one cares. Just get a smoke and a gelato, and you'll be good. Again, coming soon, SVP's lot of gelato. That's a winner. Also, I saw some movies I'm happy to talk about in a minute as well.
Oh.
You have some questions?
I do.
I'm ready to answer them.
Do they have Tito's?
Tito's?
In Italy.
I never got Tito's.
No?
I didn't order. They
don't
have
wine?
Yep. So a little of that. There is no Diet Coke. It's Coke Zero.
How we do with that? How many Coke Zeros did you have?
I would typically have one a day just to take the edge off. But when I got on the plane and I saw it was a Diet Coke, I said, I'm gonna need that. And she said, "How many would you like?" All of them. She thought it was a joke. It was not a joke. Keep them coming. We got 9 hours on this bird. I figure I can go through a case of this easy.
Nice. How was the ice situation?
Better than I thought. Way better than Scotland.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I told you the story in St. Andrews years ago. We were there like 2000. It was like 90.
That's all I think of now because I got to book my flights for game day for Dublin. And it's not going to.
Just, buddy, get ready for some room temperature drinks. Nothing worse.
God.
No, the ice in Italy was, they were great. I asked because we went through bottles and bottles and bottles of water. And you ask for some ice, they'll bring you a little thing of it. Now, it comes in a little tiny, like, container. But there was ice in Italy.
Ice, yeah?
Yeah, good ice.
Okay, good water.
A lot of
Are there highways?
Yeah, we didn't really see him much. No. I mean, because we were on the trains. Venice is highways are non-existent. Venice is awesome. God, it was incredible. Florence, I don't know. We were on the
Venice
train.
Venice is where they filmed Talented Mr. Ripley.
They film a lot of stuff in Venice.
Very picturesque.
It's a, it is a love. They also filmed Mission Cliff. Impossible, whatever, there. I caught that on
big
the
MI fan now.
Wow. Let me tell you about that one.
The watching of American sports.
Didn't turn the television on 1 second.
But, like, are there bars that have TVs on American sports, or are they just watching, like, AC Roma?
It's exclusively that.
Right?
Yeah, like, they didn't have, like, the Mavericks weren't on because it's at 3 a.m.
Okay.
But the sleep was a catastrophe. And so I would be up on Twitter, like, following sports at 4 a.m. It was not okay. Ideal.
All right.
Steve, when he goes to Italy, he's going to be trying to find a bar to catch the Ohio State game.
There's got
to
be one.
I'm sure there are. Yeah, I was with – we had a traveling party that included 3 young children.
Correct.
And my mom.
Who had the best time?
I think my mom.
Yeah?
I think so.
That's a win.
Without question. Because that's – that. It's close though because everyone was in the right frame of mind. Everyone was happy to be there, but I mean, again, like my mom, she's seen more of the world than anyone I know, which I admire so much, because the world's a big place,
no doubt.
And you know, you can convince yourself that your little corner of it's the best part. And I'm happy I live here. But it's worth seeing just for perspective, if nothing else. My mom's perspective on the world is incredible, and to be able to take her there, and you know, I'm the arm to make sure we're getting up and down steps and whatever else. Like it was, and I told her this, it was the honor of my life to walk through the streets of Italy with my mother, and I'm really, really, I'm so glad we did it, and. The good news is I don't think anybody was like, it was all right. Everyone dug it. Maybe the kids enjoyed it because it was like 9 hours on a plane. They got to be on their iPads uninterrupted. And no one was coming in and being like, you get 1 hour of screen time. No, it's unlimited screen time. What were they supposed to do?
Right.
Go run around? No.
How many things do we have to cut out of Steph's itinerary from the original plan?
We executed the game plan.
Wow.
Ran the plays. There was one gallery in Florence that's this famous gallery. And, like, you see David, which is stunning. Charlie was like, why is his junk out? Like, it's just sort of how they did it. Focus on the artistry. Yeah, but it's kind of right there. There was one gallery, famous gallery, that we punted on because, again, it was like, I like art. I'm not the biggest Renaissance art fan.
Hey, Dad, enough with the art.
It's all sort of.
Go get some pasta.
It's all kind of in the same flavor, all due respect to the Renaissance masters.
How about the language, like being able to talk to anybody?
You try.
A little intimidating?
No, because you try to do a little Italian. Like, and you can say grazie, and they'll say prego.
Okay.
Thank you. You're welcome. Buonasera. Good evening. And they'll just be like, just go ahead and talk English. We're good. Hey, buddy, no one wants to hear the bad. It's not necessary. We're all set here. And so I got to say, in April, it was crowded, but it wasn't like I expected it to be not nearly it, like there are a lot of people there. And the one guy that took us around the Vatican City and the Sistine Chapel and all, he's like, July and August, it's just forget it.
Really?
He just it's just unbearably hot, and
these are the tips people need to know. Look, you're giving out travel tips now.
April, but wait, because in a few years you can go and you can go all across the country to Lotta Gelato. I got to find out does someone have that, and if they do, I have to kill them.
How many selfies people ask you for?
Maybe a couple, but it was there's a lot of American people there.
Any of the guys smoking cigs, like looking at you, sizing
you
up?
They didn't care. I did convince Spencer Hall, though, that there's a thing here. You know, Spencer's got that thing, England or Alabama, where you look at somebody and try. I said, I think there's a lane here for Italian or wrestler, because there's a certain look that there's this, like Italian guys have, they're this handsome, the hair's a little permed, there's some stubble. And if you look at him in the right light, you're like, maybe you throw a singlet on that guy and he was part of a tag team wrestling duo in the 80s. Or his, it could be Giuseppe. It's hard to say. Shout out to, again, Heritage, man. I'm not making fun. I'm an Italian here over here. Not a lot of selfies, but a lot of people, a lot of American people there that said hello, and they're trying to figure out what the hell you're doing in Venice or whatever. Yeah. But everyone was very, very nice that we met. I did want to mention I watched some films. I haven't watched many movies. It's kind of a joke in our show staff. Like, it's award season. I haven't seen any of the...
Did you miss it? Does it bring you back? You like watching movies?
I like movies. I just...
Right?
It's just not something I have a lot of space for in my life. So... I watched Anatomy of a Fall. Heavy.
Really heavy.
Spoiler alert. I'm giving you time to not listen to the question I'm about to ask Steve.
3, 2, 1.
Do you think she did it?
No.
I don't think so either. But I don't think any of the way that it's filmed at the end is giving you clues. I think that it's just
up the dog.
I don't think the dog is the clue.
No?
I don't think so. I think it's just the end of the movie. And I do want to say this. I respect the art because, again, I think a lot of you know I took some film classes. I respect the art. But somewhere along the line here, people have just stopped doing their jobs. You go to the grocery store and I get groceries, I'm the one that's supposed to ring them and bag them. I go to the airport, I'm supposed to get my own boarding pass.
Teat weed.
Huh?
At the teat.
They bag
it? Cashier bags it.
That's big. Shout out to the teat. That's filmmakers that get to the end and want to let me decide the ending. Just show me what happened.
That's why Shawshank Redemption's one of the best films, if not the best ever, for the recap at the end. When he rips that poster and they go back and they show Andy digging and they show all the stuff. There you go.
And he's waiting.
Voila.
He's waiting for him there at Zewataneu. I hope the ocean is as blue as it's been in my dreams. I hope. That's what you want.
Right?
That's what you want. We get to the end of that, and I'm like, well, wait. I think stuff just happens, man. It was a lot of it was not a great situation there between those two, and it seemed like maybe he took a tumble. I don't know. I don't think she did it. I don't think she could have done
it. How about the opening scene, though? The fake 50 Cent version playing in the background.
I'm on a plane. I got the headphones on. I'm like, what are we doing?
I rewound it. I watched it on a plane, too. I rewound the whole first scene. I'm like, wait, what?
Liked it. Really, really, I mean, heavy, dark.
Really good.
Great film. I understand why it was nominated.
Unbelievable.
Watched Oppenheimer because it was a 9-hour flight, which meant we had time to see almost all the movie. That's a long one. Did you see that one? Oh, okay. Well, then there's not much to talk about here.
No interest.
I get why it won all the awards.
Yeah.
I just want to say this. Christopher Nolan, brilliant filmmaker, but he does this thing where the score.
Talk about hard to hear.
I don't hear well to begin with. I got it on volume 100 so I can hear it because like so many movies have. And then there's the dialogues like this. And it's like whispers.
But there's music. And there's banging.
And the Christopher Nolan score, we got to get Virk in here. Adnan Virk. He's the does that.
What's the last line of the movie?
I don't know. I rewound it 12 times. What did he say? What did he say to Einstein? I think he said, we've done it or something like that about building the bomb. But I don't know. And I literally rewound it. And I'm trying to rewind, and it's not a precise rewind because you got to try to.
It's
and,
bad.
And now I'm frustrated. And just. Christopher, you're a brilliant filmmaker. Yeah. We get it. The score is helping build the tension, but I need to be able to hear, and I compromised my ears. I don't hear great. I don't hear so good. So I watched those, and then I watched the Mission Impossible movie.
How'd that go?
I got to tell you. Again, suspension of disbelief. It's you walk in. Hey, there's a little spaceman, and he's going to live in this kid's closet, and he's going to take a phone and call home, and here come the Martians, and he's going to go back home. Sure. E.T., gotcha. I'm on board. I'm willing to suspend.
No masks.
No. There you go. All right. I'll buy it. The level of suspension of disbelief that is required to watch this film is such that I just kept watching it to see, all right, they can't possibly do anything more. preposterous than the last sequence of events. Oh, wait, yes, they can. Mm. And by the way, this was just a part one. There's another part.
Sweet. You're going that premiere.
I feel like I'm pot committed.
Yeah.
I spent and every movie's incredibly long.
Oh.
Now, I say this as I ramble on for an hour and a half about nothing. Editing's not my strong suit, brevity given. Yeah. But I just feel like maybe we could tighten some of this stuff up, especially as that film where I didn't necessarily – the entity.
Yeah.
What are we doing? I don't know.
Yep.
Okay. So that was me diving into the deep end with some film study, a little European recap, a little NBA, NFL, and again, your hockey is the Caps got swept.
Okay. Two things.
Wait. I got something I hate.
I know. Hold on. I want to also – I have a question for the people.
For the people.
All right. On the Turner apps, TNT, TBS, someone needs to help me turn off closed caption. I don't know how to do it. I lost my mind the last 3 weeks.
All right,
how many games are going to be on that? Somebody needs to tweet me, let me know. It's driving me nuts.
Someone help Steve.
TNT and TBS apps. Turn off closed caption.
Is there anything that you, is that what you hate that you can't figure that out?
Yeah. Okay. It's driving me nuts.
All right, so the thing Steve hates is you're kind of like, it's a little bit like being someone's peepaw and you can't figure out the technology. My thing that I hate is that it's the ad, it's the Holmgren SGA ad, all right? By the way, we were talking earlier about Anthony Edwards, like Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is on that page too of a guy who it's
no going to
be his league too. I mean, he's a true superstar, we get it.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is not hating the ad because everyone seems
to. With him and Chet.
Correct. What I hate is that I don't understand it. Why are they singing that song? I don't understand the premise of the ad. I've only seen it 300.
You know what the song is a spinoff of?
What is it? It's
What a Girl Wants.
Right. What a
Girl Aguilera.
Of course, but this
what
is
what a pro wants.
What did they want?
It's like the ending. It's you hate like film. Like what are we supposed to think?
I don't understand what is happening here. We're in fancy clothing and what a pro. What do you want? I want to not see this ad anymore.
Is that the team bus?
I don't think so.
Chet get demoted? Because he doesn't get on the bus.
I hate that. What I hate is that I don't understand what is happening in this ad. I just need. It's like the end of Anatomy of a Fall. I need someone to give me. And this is a 30 second. This is a 30. That's industry jargon for how long an ad. We've been in some ads. Maybe some new ones coming this summer.
Oh.
I don't know. We move product, people. A lot of gelato. It's a 30, and in 30 seconds, I'm somehow at the end of it, I'm baffled, and I don't understand why they're singing, and it's just, what are we doing?
It's amazing how many times it's on.
All NCAA tournament long and all NBA playoffs long.
And you had a week off from being in Italy that you didn't see it.
And shockingly, I didn't go in any sports bars at 3 a.m. to say, hey, could you guys throw in the Thunder? Grazie. It didn't happen. All right. Now.
One other thing.
Yep.
Countdown is at 13 days, I believe.
And then what happens?
You and I head to Louisville.
Oh, yeah.
Buckle up, people. PGA Championship, Valhalla. We're coming. We're going to be there for a week. Let's figure it out.
Coming in hot, Stanford Steve, he'll have the hype man towel. We'll be wandering fairways. Any of you tour pros that are looking for a couple of straggler tag-alongs to do a little recon, get at us.
Mm, I've been working on my math. Distance. Heard it gets tricky out of Valhalla.
Elevation change.
Where you want to be.
Humidity. Trajectory.
Undulation.
Bang. This is why he's the golf insider. Last time we did this pod in earnest, the end of the podcast was always horrible. So here's what I'm going to do. We're just going to get to the end. I'm going to say, this is the end of the podcast. Ciao.